This is a test. This station is conducting a test of the emergency broadcasting system. This is only a test.
Of all these opinions, this is the one that continues to blindside me, dumbfound me, gobsmack me, thunderstrike
me. Just blasphemy. Absolute blasphemy.
Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm!
This is the Overreaction Podcast. I am Chase. With me, as always, my man Cody. You can find us on X at TrophyChaseTFDR, at CodySmithTFDR. And as always, you can find us in the Destination Debbie Discord at patreon.com/allgas. If you are in that Heisman tier or the Destination 5 tier, you will be able to have access to all of the content creators in voice chat and all of the additional AMAs, film sessions, voice chat sessions, tons of additional content there. So again, do tune in and check that out. patreon.com/allgas. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
Doing very well. Glad to be back on the Destination Debbie feeds. A little bit of a different one for me this time, since we're now back on the pod version. We were on the YouTube doing the first Dynasty trade show with our guy Ty DeClaire over there. So if you haven't checked that one out, maybe go first and go over, click that like, click that sub over there. Definitely shouldn't be doing it just for me, because there are plenty more people that are on that channel each and every day making fantastic content. Shane, Scott, Ray, Jay Rich, Ty as well. So it was a good show. Had a lot of fun doing that one and just talking trades for about a little over an hour. It was a fun one. But back to the normal life for me after we were done filling in for that one. Maybe we get called up from the reserves again here soon. We'll
get called up from the minor leagues.
Yeah, the minor leagues got called up from AAA, hit the big boys. So back to the pod now and ready to roll through it with this one tonight.
Yeah, you went 25 trades in an hour. You guys, that was a good show. If you haven't checked it out, again, go over to Destination Debbie YouTube channel and check out the most recent rendition of the trade show with Ty DeClaire and our guy Cody. Again, fun one to listen to. I love, you know, hearing trade talk, especially this time of year. So we'll get into some fun stuff as we recap a draft that we just finished up and kind of go over some of the theory we had talked about a couple weeks back, since we are no longer going into our full-on win now builds. So that will be a fun one to break down. But before we do, we have, I don't know, what the probably biggest, most funnest thing coming up here in about 10 days with the actual NFL draft. So we'll jump into what that is. Just again, make sure you go over to Underdog, use code DDD at sign up, and you can get a up to $100 deposit match on your first time deposit. Not only that, you will get your entry into the draft day raffle. You'll also get the guide, so the draft guide from Destination Debbie Volume 2024, and I believe you still get access to Destination Debbie for a year as well. So fun stuff there. Tons going on. Again, code DDD at sign up. What do you got for me, Cody?
Oh, I mean, but whenever you use that sign up code, use that thing, get on the Underdog, and then sign in and tap in for all 3 days of the NFL draft over there on the Destination Debbie feed. It's going to be an absolute hell of a time. You know, we've been talking about it. Everybody's been talking about it everywhere for probably the last 3 weeks already. So maybe you're tired of hearing it, but we got to hammer this one home. Make sure that you are in there, because it's going to be an awesome time. All 15 hours plus of the draft. I know I will personally, at minimum, be there for all 8 hours, except to go to the bathroom a couple times during that third day. I will be holding down the fort until Mr. Irrelevant pick is made, at minimum, and probably a little bit more. So it's going to be an absolute grind fest, but it's going to be an absolutely fun time and a blast to have everybody within our two communities on the same screen at the same time for as much as they want to be on. Basically, we will have people on the screen for every portion that the draft is running.
Yeah, it's going to be such a good time. Last year was a blast. Had so much fun doing that. This year, there's tons of giveaways. If you haven't been on X and seeing all of the Destination Debbie content creators and DTI5 content creators just constantly posting and showing some of the free giveaways, whether that's autographed jerseys and cards, Heisman tier memberships, just so much stuff. have to check it out. So do tune in. It is going to be the hands down best live stream of the NFL draft that you're going to find on YouTube or anywhere. I mean, last year it was better than watching ESPN. So being a part of that, or even tuning in when I couldn't actually be on stream. So it's so much fun. Again, make sure you do check out Thursday, Friday, and Saturday over at Destination Devi YouTube channel. So I think we've got all the fun stuff out of the way here. We do have our very first auction, or I guess fast auction, not our first auction. Let me step back here.
Yeah, we gotta love the auctions. Definitely not our first one, but first fast auction.
First fast auction in
the startup realm, at least. We've only done ours over on MFL for the two of us, and now we've done one over on Sleeper. Throwing, what was it? What did we come out to? About a 5.5 hour sit down of a draft with about a 1 10-minute break in the middle.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. You know, it was a lot of fun. It actually flew by. And this was the very first rendition of the Overreaction in 5. So we have, of course, the two of us. We have Scott and Shane in there as well, as some other Heisman tier members and DTI 5 members in there. So great time to get everyone together in voice chat, hang out, talk. I think the biggest, I mean, I was going to kind of jump into the auction itself because it was a fast auction for our first time. I just blown away how quickly, like, the nominations are up. Like, you blink, and then if you're not paying full attention, especially as you get into, you said 5.5 hours, you get into like hour one, hour two, and you're just kind of like, okay, you hear what player's up, or you know, you're paying attention for a brief second, or you think a player's on the board and they're still getting bid up, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I just missed out on George Kittle. You're like, crap. And that was exactly what happened to me. So I think the speed of the auction, or the speed of the nomination and auction of a single player, definitely threw me for a loop at first, but had an absolute blast, and I cannot wait to do another one of these.
Oh, for sure. I still think, honestly, if I were to say which one I actually like more, I think I do still like the overall strategy that I have with slow MFL auctions. But for a 4 to 5 hour just absolute blast of energy and having to try to figure out exactly what you're doing, because that was my probably biggest takeaway as well. You know, we were going on 30 seconds to nominate and then a 30 second timer whenever your bid gets reset. But that's only for the first part. After that bid gets reset within those first 30 seconds, then it only goes to 10, and trying to figure out how much you're going to bump that bid up by dollar bids, whatever, in 10 seconds each and every time, figure out what your cap is for that player, then adjust to how much cash you actually have left, how many players you still need to win. Everything about that just makes it's stress inducing in a very fun way, but it is incredibly stress inducing whenever you're seeing a player that you're actually trying to bid on have an interest in winning, and that clock is ticking down with 3 seconds left.
You know, it's kind of funny because I relate it to doing underdog drafts, and, you know, again, code DDD at sign up. You know, it's one of those things where I'd like to do fast drafts for underdog drafts, or if I have to jump into a bunch of different ones because I'm trying to either max enter or just get multiple entries. You know, the slow ones, there's definitely more strategy time. There's time to think things out, where I can lock in for it's 1 hour basically for an underdog draft. I can lock in for 1 hour, and I feel like it gives me an advantage over the other players because I feel like they are multitasking, kind of like you are doing during 5.5 hours of a fast auction. You're trying to do other things. Yeah, you're still tapped in for the most part, but there's always distractions. There's always things that pop up, and, you know, keeping your attention on one thing for 5.5 hours, focusing on the strategy, focusing on the thought process, and it's one player at a time. So it's very interesting to see how that thing ran through. But it was, again, so much fun to do. Highly encourage, if anyone has not done an auction startup, do it. First of all, maybe give yourself a little bit more time. It's hard to say, like, right? You give more time, and we're out there for 8 hours drafting. Like, it's 30 seconds was kind of like that happy medium. So it's a very fine balance for one of these types of auctions.
So I guess first question to you, because of what I just said earlier and what you're just saying there, like, it's you can't really go any further out. Otherwise, you do have to sit there. Maybe if you break it up into two sessions, you can probably do that, something like that. But where would you say, if somebody is looking to do that auction, would you prefer your first startup auction, if you could revert back everything that's gone on in your brain, would you rather do that slow auction where you have the time to really think things through, think each bid through, or would you rather just go straight into the fast auction and see what it's all about?
I think for first time auctioners, I highly encourage you to go out and do a slow auction. You can find a nice balance where that's a 4 hour clock, 6 hour clock, 8 hour clock. So, you know, we've done 12, we've done 24 hour clocks.
Yeah.
And so we've seen it all. We've done it all when it comes to the long draft aspect. The fact that it does give you time to think and process, and it's not like just an instant, like, holy cow, what's happening? Or, you know, how do I want to go buy Tony Pollard? What's my budget looking like? Who am I going to nominate next? How am I going to do this? Your brain, if you haven't done auction before, the fast auction can really, I think, can be overwhelming for some people. If you haven't done a lot of auction drafts, I mean, it was overwhelming for me at times. I'm like, I started bidding up, you know, I bought two of the first three players off the board, and I'm like, okay, tone it down. Like, we have another 300 players to go chase. Like, stop spending money just right out the gate because you feel like you want to bid on players. So, like, that was my kind of takeaway on that. What are your thoughts on slow versus fast for first timers?
Well, I mean, you said you bid on two of the first five. I bid on three of the first nine. So we went in and we were just like, all right, well, let's run these prices up. And people get a little bit more fearful whenever they don't have another 12 hours to contemplate, another 12 hours for somebody else to overtake the player. And as we're talking through that, for the people who might not be as familiar with the auction format, whenever you do go to that slow, and typically you need to run those on MFL, you'll be running it with like 24 to 36 players on the board. And that's how you can have that 4 to 8 hour clock where you can visualize the whole board, every player that's currently on it, and then take that time to figure out where you want to get that bid into. And then typically we do proxy, but you can do that. That one kind of works either way. So I do think having that time just really allows for an overall better understanding, more flexibility within your team. I mean, I guess if you try to put in seven noms at one point in the slow, you can still mess yourself up there, but you get so much more time to, if you want to make sure that you're not going to be able to do, or you don't put yourself at that risk, you can go through and do a one player bid, a one player bid, a one player bid, one by one, and work through the board. And you can still do that pretty easily and efficiently over there. So I would definitely recommend going that way. Pick one where you got like 12, 24, 36 players on the board at all times. 8 hour, 12 hour clock, and really just sit down and try to hammer out, hey, like, I want to build out this many of my roster spots. I want to put this amount of my money into higher premium assets. I want to do a little bit more less studs and duds approach and build out just an evenly distributed team. I think that's definitely the way that I would encourage people to go. But if you want to just go ahead and throw head first straight into the fire with that fast auction as well, like we've been saying, it's an absolute hell of a time. So definitely would not discourage anybody from doing that either. You can figure it out, right?
Agreed. Like, I think that's the whole thing, is you can figure it out either way. Fast auction is especially if you can get all 12 people in a room together, that's the way to do it. Like, if you can get all hop on a voice chat, hop on a phone call in Discord, like somewhere, some way, somehow, so you're all talking, do it in person with your boys or girls.
I have heard somebody do a I don't think it was for Dynasty, but I think it was a redraft one. They actually got an auctioneer to run their redraft auction league one year. I forget who that was. So somebody, if you're listening to this one and that was you, let me know, because that was a cool one.
Yeah, no, I love that. Like, and you can make them fun again. You can make them creative. I mean, I do that with a lot of different redraft stuff too, where we get together. But yeah, I mean, it's 5.5 hours, fun time. It's a round of golf, you know. So nice trade off, especially if you're looking for a fast auction, fun way to hop in and really kind of get your toes wet with this. I will say, when it comes to sleeper, and I didn't fortunately experience this. I was king hacks with my 0.01 second bids when it looks like the deal is sold. But do be careful of max bidding on a player, because thankfully all 12 of us are part of this community, and we were able to make sure we could, you know, pause the draft. But I don't know, Cody, how did it feel to put $206 on the, what was it, the 104, 105 when
104. I think I had about four assets about at that time, and it couldn't have been me. I don't know why you're putting this blasphemous note on me that I would ever be able to mess this up. But yeah, whenever you're sitting there with only about five assets, you've got $200 left. So not the way that I will typically, we can go into this actual strategy of what we had to go through during the startups to try to get to these finalized teams as well. About five assets, and I would have had six in a start 12 best ball league. and I would have been going in on my sixth asset with all of my money off the board. And I would have had to build out a start 12 best ball with six very good assets, but it would have been everything that I had left in the bank. And so, yes, luckily we were able to do a pause draft, and, you know, maybe it also helped that I was commish basically of the league as well. So I have access to that pause button, and we were able to make that determination on the fly. But yes, even though you are stressed for time, I would actually recommend not using a number pad on a mechanical keyboard where the numbers are very easy to hit, and not immediately just pressing enter like I do whenever data entry for me. I do that probably 200 times a day, is just use number pad and then hit enter immediately. So just be a little bit more careful, especially if you aren't in a league where it's a kind of more friendly environment. Definitely have a large understanding of how much that can mess you up, because it will not limit anything. If you wanted to put $998 or whatever that max bid is, you can put it in.
Yep. I mean, you weren't the only one who did it, so I'm not going to call anybody else out just because you're the commish. We had to.
I'll eat that one of the shins. I did it first too.
For all of you out there outraged right now that Cody paused the draft and gave himself money back, I don't blame you. I was outraged too. I wanted him to eat this L, but no. I'm kidding. I also did the same thing. I misclicked one time when doing a nomination, and thankfully it was only a $10 mistake where I nominated him $10 higher than I wanted to. Ended up winning the player, but yeah, just be careful. That's all I got to say when it comes to that. But yeah, let's get into the strategy aspect of this. Very, very different when it comes to strategy, I think, than a fast auction. The slow auction, I'm able to really process, sit down, map things out, and I had an idea in my head. I had an idea of how I wanted to go about this. But the single player nomination, and as well as like having things go so quickly, it definitely threw a new element in kind of my thought process throughout this. So I am curious. Did that kind of throw you off as well? Like, how did you simplify your strategy? Because that's what I felt like I had to do, is to simplify my strategy from what I normally do in slow auction.
I think really the way that I look at this one is you have to be even more agnostic to players, individual players, than you already were. That was the feeling that I got as we were going through this one, was if I wanted a player and the bids just started going, or even if I just missed him, to your point earlier, that you can just absolutely miss players if you look away from the screen for something for 30 seconds. You know, you really have to be even more so just, okay, what types of players do I want to build this thing out with? And then if you have the time, which is still difficult to do, try to track everything within your tiers on the side. I was trying to do it, and unfortunately, it didn't really work for me. I kind of gave up on that one pretty quickly. But if you have a little bit longer clock, I think you could do it. But it makes it even more so to where you just have to be open to whatever starts to play off the board. You win one thing. I mean, I wanted Josh Allen real early on, and we were hamstrung with cash for the rest of it. So I think even more so than your traditional slow auctions, you just have to be so flexible, both between your players that you're trying to get off the board. I don't really want to get into a bidding war over one single guy just because I want that individual player. And I don't really want to just go in with only one way that I could build out my roster construction, because if I don't win in that one tier of players, then everything's off.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. I think that when I was looking at the board, it got to the point where I was just purely looking at the value of the player, whether that was, you know, if there's ADV there for certain names, and I'm like, okay, should he be going for higher? Am I getting him for cheap where I could potentially sell him and make a move? So, you know, could you get some discounts in different areas? You know, that's kind of the stuff I was looking at. There were times that I had to hold off because of my budget, and I'm like, I really want to go back in on this, but I can't right now. And so I think that was that my initial approach. I had an idea in terms of, like we talked about on the Death of the Win Now show, and just kind of different options we have, how I wanted to build my quarterback room. I pretty much did what I wanted to do in that aspect as far as like the range of quarterbacks that I wanted. I think I have an opportunity to make a trade or two there that would still keep me within the range that I'm comfortable with. And then same thing, I punted running back for the most part. And then I wanted to kind of lean into the quote unquote value that I felt like I could find at wide receiver. I mean, value really across the board. If it was a budget player and I just saw, I was like, I don't want you to get that for cheap. I immediately went in and bid. There was a couple times I, like I said, had to hold off on bidding you up on Amari Cooper. Like I literally was like, I'm going to click this right now. I'm going to click it. I was like, stop bidding on old people. I still got Davante Adams. I still ended up buying Davante Adams because I was like, I can't let this old guy go for this cheap. But yeah, it was very, very testing because you really did. You were on such a time constraint and you just had to like, it was very quick reactions when you're on the board or you see a player on the board. You're like, okay, do I want this player or do I want this price? And that's what I try to do is look at the price tag more than anything. And then look at the ADV or the actual value of a player. And hopefully I could use that to my advantage.
Yeah. And so just getting into the overall actual roster construction with what we came out with, or what I came out with personally, quarterback here. I mean, this was kind of the conversation that we were talking about whenever we get into best balls, whenever we go into those win now strategies. Typically, it's been a guy that I can't shake. I got a lot of Geno across my leagues. Can't shake that Geno. Still got the Geno. But the other quarterbacks that I would typically supplement a win now best ball roster with would be those. Give me a Derek Carr. Give me a Will Levis. Give me an Aaron Rodgers. Let me just go cheap out of cheap here. And whether it was a little bit because of, you know, overbidding at the very beginning of it, and maybe not, but coming away with where I would like to actually be if I'm not going to go that way, give me the highest asset that is insulated in the QB1 and all of the game, the player 1 and all of the game, and give me Josh Allen. Even though it is best ball here, and even though it is start 12, whenever I'm not leaning into that quarterback, whenever I'm not leaning into the win now build, I actually like to see this where it gives me a little bit of just added stability. I can probably tear down. It probably won't be for a normal tear down, especially in this type of league with the type of people that we play in. I won't be able to get that 4-for-1 overhaul of the league and just build up my depth all the way through that. Yeah. But it still does give me a lot of security, I think, in a league where I'm not exactly trying to go straight into the win now build.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about this. You wanted to get like an elite asset in some different areas. And let's just kind of look at your team here as we do this, because I do feel like you made some very good picks. I think you had some great players. You mentioned Josh Allen. Again, you got the number 1 quarterback. Whatever you want to do with this guy, you can do. You can keep him if you want to. If you wanted to tear down, if you wanted to move around, I think you had the flexibility to do that. This league may be challenging to do it because it is kind of a sharper league. And being able to find trade candidates, but I think you're going to be able to find a way to get a deal done should you want to, if you wanted to break that asset down in particular.
Right. And so then we go right back into where I wanted to really go with this team and force myself into spending up higher than I really wanted to on a lot of players. I've typically, again, pivoting away from win now, typically I like to build out with a lot of just mid wide receiver depth. Instead, we go in here and we end up with both Jamar Chase and Drake London for $150-something and $100 as well for Drake London. So you've got 3 pretty high assets immediately off the board in Josh Allen, Jamar Chase, and Drake London. Some things that should give a little bit more stability to the top end of this overall roster right here. And then we lean back one more time into it with Christian McCaffrey. And the thing about this league is, it's interesting in the way that I set it up because it is an inverted PPR tiered system. So it is 0.5 PPR for a wide receiver, 1 for a running back, and then 1.75 for tight ends. So it really does hamper this kind of narrative that people want to go into right now, this way of building that it's only through the wide receivers. I mean, Christian McCaffrey in this type of a league, I think was he the number 1 overall scorer last year? I think he was actually up
there. He absolutely was.
Yes. Yeah, and it's by a good bit. So as long as he is healthy, he will absolutely smash in this format.
Yeah. Again, we'll stay on your team here because I do like how you went about this. You got, I mean, you got the number 1 quarterback. You got the number 1 running back in terms of scoring and at least a top 5 option, even given his age. And then you got a top 4, top 3. I don't know where people feel about Jamar Chase. You know, it fluctuates, it feels like. But for me, he's a top 3 wide receiver. You got an up-and-comer with Drake London. I love how you built. And then you did go solo tight end. You also got what I would consider as a top four option at tight end with TJ Hockenson. And yes, I know he has one knee, Shane. I know you're going to point that out, that he only has one knee. But still, I mean, the value that you got on TJ Hockenson, let me see if I can find that. What was the price you got on Hawk?
Because 50, I believe.
Yeah, you got him for 50. And just for comparison for all the other tight ends that went in that range, like Dalton Schultz also went for 50. You had Ferguson went for 61. You had Njoku for 66. I mean, I know it depends on when the draft, when in the draft these players went off the board. So it's not always fully comparable. But the bottom line is for $50, when you're looking at that range of tight end, worst case scenario, he's still going to be in that range. Best case scenario, you bought a top three tight end option for $50. So I think you did very well getting some elite assets out of this draft.
But. So we went through the elite assets. Now you think of all those names we just read off, of the prices we just read off. We were playing with $1,000 budget that we could go into with. So you got a 280 Josh Allen, 130 CMC, 150 Jamar Chase. We're racking up the bill pretty quick here. And I only have now $200 to play out the rest of this entire draft with. So it is a true studs and duds approach, and we'll see how it goes. The reason I went in a little bit more on that one as well, I trust my ability to grind waiver wire edges as well. Yep. I trust this league to grind it as well, but going into the single tight end, I don't think that I have to win now this year, even with Christian McCaffrey on the team. Now, could it happen? Could, but... The thing that it did really limit with me on this one is that I really wasn't able to get draft picks at all to supplement this team that I don't know if it can win now. And that's where I think the struggle with this team is. It doesn't have a lot else outside of the studs, so it may need some tear downs in a league that's going to be difficult to do it in. And it doesn't have the draft capital, at least in 2024, to really supplement this thing in any way. And that's where I think I probably went one too many and really hamstrung myself there. But I mean, you was still able to throw in a Zay Flowers. It was, Mari Cooper. But whenever you're looking at sleepers calling it right now, my 12th best player is apparently Odell Beckham Jr. to hit the lineup. Doesn't feel all that great. So there's a lot of just random depth with your guys. You know, like, can I get anything out of A.J. Dillon, Tyler Algier? Can I get a Mingo hit, a Mike Williams hit, Kendrick Bourne? I was just taking a lot of shots on just darts that were only a couple dollars to try to fill out the rest of this 30-man roster, because I did go so heavily into the studs.
Yeah, I mean, and I still like the approach. I like the fact that you have options, I think, is the best part about this. Like, and as we get into my team, it's where I'm not as flexible as you with some of the elite assets, and definitely took a different approach than what you did. And so, yeah, not having draft capital will hurt, at least given the fact that we're about to have a rookie draft here in 2 weeks, and having those trade opportunities or having that opportunity to get a young player on the roster doesn't feel great right now. But again, you can make some trades, get some capital. I do like the ability that you have personally, and then of course as being an active league, I think you'll be able to make some things happen. So excited to see what you do with that team.
Yeah, and for anybody else, just before we pivot off onto yours, for anybody who's listening into this and thinking, how are you drafting draft picks in a fast auction? How do you walk away with none for this year? It's a system that I would not recommend if you do not have all 12 people in the voice chat, because that is the only way we were able to do it. But we did use we used kicker placeholders for rookie picks. And so like Rodrigo Blankenship was the 412. And I think he was my first nom on the board whenever he came up. I forget. But so I would not recommend people do that, but if you are able to get all 12 into the league, it's a very fun way where I personally, if I'm doing anything before the NFL draft as a startup, I want to have the ability to draft my rookie picks in whatever order I deem necessary for me. So I don't just want to be sitting there with my static 1, 2, 3, 4 rookie placeholder. Rookie pick kicker placeholders. Those are the words. That's your normal way to do it in a linear format, in a snake format. And we were able to make it work here, but I would not recommend that if everybody's not in the call on the screen together. Goodness. That was, yeah. That's probably my worst one in recording history, Chase. That was pretty rough.
We don't edit. We just roll straight through. So that one's going to be, that one's not going to be cut out.
Y'all can enjoy that one.
But yeah, no, we'll jump into my team here so we can kind of get to, we have some news that we want to recap with here at the end as well, just to kind of get into to that part of things. So again, recap to your team. We'll get into mine. I'm just going to go positionally. Go position by position and kind of wrap up my squad here. So I actually got my very first player on the board. I did buy Justin Fields. I got my very first Justin Fields share. He was $15.
Such a good one, man. As soon as that came off the board, everybody knew it.
I loved it. Like I saw that and I was like, you know what? The ADV is there. Like the fact that if he starts, great. And honestly, like I have so much Russ, like I just needed one spot that I could hedge and be like, all right, here's my shot to sell Justin Fields, or here's my shot to ride him off into the sunset as he throws YOLO balls to George Pickens. So at least I have one of those shares, but I also have Tua Tagovailoa. I did get Jordan Love, Baker Mayfield, and then I wrapped it up with a Jimmy Garoppolo. So I have five quarterbacks of Love, Tua, Baker, Fields, and Jimmy G. I like the depth. I think I did this for trade opportunity. I didn't necessarily get an elite guy, but I looked at Jordan Love as a guy that could be an elite scorer. He did finish, you know, QB5 last year, and so it gave me an opportunity to at least have someone that could be a top five, top six scorer. Same thing with Tua. Tua also has trade value in this league. We have one team that has, you know, Tyreek and Waddle on the same team, so that was one thing I looked at. And we also have, you know, Sam for Bama. So there's always the fact that Sam loves some Tua, loves some Bama players, and maybe there's a trade opportunity there. Not that, you know, I'm going to get insane value, but at least I have trade partners for some of these players. So that's kind of how I looked at that room. Is I wanted the three, like we usually look at three with some backups and things like that. That's what I went for. I went for three main starters, looking at backups for depth for the best ball aspect, and also gives me the trade flexibility there.
Yeah, and you've got my favorite quarterback, at least in sleeper best ball, with Taysom Hill, because that tight end does have quarterback eligibility. And in best ball, you don't have to start him and make that decision. So if you do have a bad quarterback week, Taysom Hill catches two touchdowns, goes in for 20 points. So it's an absolute cheat code in sleeper best ball.
Love that. Yeah, I did forget about him. I'm looking at a different area, so he's in my tight end. So we'll get to him in a minute. Running back will be really quick. I punted, and it's very old. I mean, I shouldn't say it's very old. But basically, I have Aaron Jones and Austin Eckler. That's pretty much it. And then I have Ty Chandler, you know, cuffing my RB1 and Aaron Jones. And then I have some Khalil Herbert that I stole from you last second because I couldn't let him go for, what, $5. So I did decide to do
probably
that.
Probably fine. I have so much Khalil Herbert in every format possible. I've been in on Khalil Herbert for, like, the first 4 years of his career at every point now. You're definitely going to, we'll get into a little bit of where you probably pivoted some of that value here in a bit. Obviously, as I was talking about earlier, the league format doesn't exactly match up to that, but where it does is actually if Aaron Jones and Austin Eckler aren't dust, those are two high pass catching running backs. So you're matching the format, at least with the PPR in those two. And you'll be able to supplement that with a couple of other guys. I'd probably want a little bit more here, a little bit more youth with the way this is. I think you're still in enough of a win now here with the pieces you were able to get. So I actually don't even mind those two. If you want to pivot off, as long as they're healthy and producing, we'll be able to do that again at some point this year. Just need to build out the depth.
Yeah, and we can touch on, once we wrap up my draft picks, kind of the other strategy and thought process here too. But we'll get into the wide receivers. So wide receivers, I did get AJ Brown. I felt like I got a decent deal on him. And if you haven't watched, the DTI5 crew did a 5-minute kind of little trade breakdown on AJ Brown, kind of talking about his value being depressed. Saw that after this, of course, and which was kind of cool. But yeah, they did a nice little breakdown on him being a value right now. And I felt like I got a pretty good value. I still think that he is a top five asset, even though people aren't going to value him as that with Puka's emergence. But I got him for $118, $119 in comparison to like Lamb going for $152. You know, Chase going for the 150s. Like, I felt like it was a decent enough price that I was okay getting in on that one. Wide receiver wise, so AJ Brown, I did go for Davante Adams, had to get some Davante Adams. Got Rashee Rice, Chris Godwin, Cortland Sutton, Khalil Shakir, Michael Wilson, Darnell Mooney, some Josh Palmer, and Treylon Burks, baby. You had to have that Treylon. I think I stole him from somebody for $3. So,
oh yeah, that player. He's kind of like that J-Mo. He can earn his way to any of the targets that he gets, but we're probably done with that experiment. I do have a lot of Treylon on best ball, just in case, though. Just in case we get there, we can potentially get some of that. But whenever you're dropping $3, I mean, you're dropping that on pretty much any other wide receiver in that position. So I think it's okay there. This is where I really do like the depth of what you've got with what you've got on the team. It's just darts all over the board and players that we typically like here. So I enjoy that with the AJ Brown on the high end. And then we got the good mid depth all the way through it as well with Rice, Godwin, Sutton types too.
Yeah, and then to wrap it up as far as position players go, I do have Pat Freiermuth as tight end one. I have Zach Ertz, Darren Waller, if he decides to play football, Taysom Hill, and Greg Dulcich. This was a great tight end room 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. Like this would have been a room. Scott Connor has the tight end room of here. Mr. You know, rocking Trey McBride, Mark Andrews, Goddard, Kincaid. I mean, he has all the tight ends, but yeah, I just took some shots. I mean, I got Freiermuth, and then at that point, I was like, okay, where's my high variance upside if everything works out? Zach Ertz for a year, Waller for, I mean, I'm hoping I get a game
out
of him.
You get a game?
Yeah, I'm hoping I get a game. You know, taking a bet on Dulcich in that offense isn't necessarily the smartest move, but as a Bronco fan and, you know, I don't have any Dulcich either. It's actually very surprising. I don't own a lot of Broncos despite my love for Denver. And it's obviously because they're a really crappy offense. No one should own any fantasy players there. So anyways, that wraps up there. And then getting into the draft capital, this is where you and I varied pretty significantly. So you had 0 picks that you came away with. I, on the other hand, came away with 6 picks, and I got them all within the first 2 rounds. So I have the 109, the 201, the 208, 210, 211, and 212. So it's the back end of the second, which is a huge gamble because right now, today, everyone's like, oh yeah, the back end of the second, you'll have some decent players. I hope after the draft that like those are some decent players, because right now it feels good. But if things don't go well, which typically they don't, when the first rookie draft kicks off, I may not be so excited. So definitely have some opportunities at some darts, but I think the big thing here, again, worst case scenario, I do think I'll have opportunity to grab some running backs. If there's some running backs there, maybe some wide receiver darts, I think there's going to be some moving up and moving down in that range that I'm not going to be too disappointed with what's there.
Yeah. This is where, while you don't have the running back depth right now at the back of the second, to your point, feels like right now that's where we see these runs happen in our ADPs and in mock drafts that we've been doing. Now, will that change once we get to the draft? We get the draft capital associated. We get landing spots associated. Yeah, it probably doesn't look as flushed out to the back. It typically doesn't ever look as flushed out to the back whenever you start assigning all of those things to players. But I don't think it's going to be bad. And I mean, you're still betting on rookies to take shots, take hits. We don't know at this point, as much as we've done analysis of the past 4 months, nobody knows which ones are going to pop when they're going to pop. So I like the format. I like the kind of complementary style that this team came together for within that area specifically.
Yeah. I wanted to the range. I was hoping to get another, you know, a top 7 pick essentially is what I was hoping for, but with the prices that were there, I was like, okay, I'll go top 9. And then I wanted to get in that, you know, 110 to 204 range, so I got one there. And then I wanted a cluster, and I got a cluster. It's not necessarily the cluster that I wanted, but you know, having the 208, 210, 11, and 12 gives me 4 or 5 picks in that range. Hopefully I can hit on 1 or 2, but that's also if I keep those picks. You know, I have the opportunity to potentially trade seconds for players, and that might prove to be beneficial as well. So have only 2 weeks to figure life out there, but it is an option. It is an option. So we'll see what I decide to do. Overall, like I said, I think strategy wise, I don't hate it. I think when you look across the league here, and we can drop the actual results in the description or on also on X so that people can check it out, the full results. There's a lot of parity. I think there's a lot of parity from the end of the startup to where we're at right now. I do think there's some teams that can make some trades and really make a run. But hey, you know, anything can happen. When you have sharp people in a league doing an auction, every player is available, and typically no one gets like left in the dust. So what was your overarching thoughts? What else you want to add here?
Well, I probably would have been if $203 had gone through on that one bid. I think the last thing we could address here, and you had mentioned it, one of the most fascinating things to me, because I don't know if I've ever really seen a hoard at this position in this type of way done to this point, but old Scott Connor will play on the edges of things, won't he? And having six of the top 20 tight ends, and that's being pretty generous to say that, it might be six of the top 15 tight ends by the time we get to the season if Noah Fant can sneak his way up there. I mean, you got yours a little bit more with the older versions. I got mine with an injured TJ Hockenson. And I forget which was your top actual tight end here that we
Freiermuth.
Okay, so we're still, I think he's a little bit actually undervalued in market coming in with Arthur Smith to pair with right now. So I do like that one. And I'm glad you got into that range of tight end before we had to start going down to the Darren Waller types. But that's probably going to be the most interesting market for me. And I've already got an offer in my inbox that I need to process tomorrow morning once I get up from Scott on tight ends and moving those things around already. So that will be the most interesting thing to me within this market and how well it was dominated within a fast auction as well, was able to be done probably a lot easier because whenever it's single players on the board, you don't have to wait for a snake turn to come back to you. There can't be a run within just picks that you would have to trade up into. It leans a little bit more if you do want to go into a hoard method. You're able to do that in these auctions much more so than you are able to. That's why we love our auctions, because the variability that it creates to be able to build your roster how you want. I mean, if I'm putting up the, you know, my studs and duds approach that we got here with Allen, CMC, Chase, London, Hockenson, in this type of a format, those might be three top three round picks that I was able to get because I was able to just bid on those within an auction format that I would not have the availability to do. So again, just want to put out there for everybody who's doing all these startups, it is auction over snake every time, but we will still use our ADP from snake.
Yeah. I mean, again, this was a new experience as far as the fast aspect of this went. So this was a fun little twist, not to mention the scoring settings and here were different. This is our very first rendition of the overreaction in five leagues as well. We may have another one this offseason. Maybe, who knows? Maybe we'll have like six more. I don't know, Cody. Whatever you decide you want to, whatever you want to jump into.
I've already got two more lined up. Yeah. Max, there's one more.
And that's what I was thinking. It's like we may do it because this one was a best ball one, which is a variation that normally, again, DTI 5 side is more known for lineup. So maybe we do a lineup side of a rendition of it with a slow auction, or maybe we do a fast auction again. Who knows? But wouldn't mind trying one more this offseason. Won't be pre-NFL draft, that's for sure. So
that's like a month before season, if that's
happening. Summertime for sure when we have some more freedom. So yeah, no, I think that pretty much recaps it. Again, it was fun to do with everybody. Had some unique builds, had some, again, smart individuals in there, so that was so much fun to sit down and listen in, chat it out. You want to get into the news or anything else you want to add on auctions before we roll?
No, I don't think we got anything more with the auctions. Covered good there. It was a lot of fun. It is now moved on to full NFL draft coverage time, which we will be talking about next week, kind of giving our stamps pre-NFL draft of where we want to go, players we want to hit, what format exactly that looks like. We'll figure that out. But we're going to be talking some incoming rookies in NFL draft, obviously. Only 2 days for y'all whenever it's going to be dropping before the NFL draft. So just got to put some stuff on wax out there. We'll do that next week. But Chase, I might start doing this at the end of every show now. We're just going to go through Cody's crusties, maybe we call it that. I don't know. That sounds Cody's weird.
Crusties.
I don't know. It's a little weird. Anyway, basically all of the stuff at the bottom of the transaction log, which I track each and every day, multiple times, I probably refresh that about as much as I refresh Twitter now, and it's no reason for it. But transactions within the NFL, and I don't care how bad they are, they're going to come up if they're fantasy relevant. So things that have happened, obviously, Rashee Rice, you've heard enough about that. I'm not going to go into it any further. Still not panicked on Rice. Devonta Smith getting a 3-year, $75 million contract extension. So he will be with the Philadelphia Eagles through 2028, while all of the other wide receivers of Ayuk, Jefferson, and Lamb are all holding out trying to get their contracts. The Philadelphia Eagles lock up their guy through 2028. Nick Chubb earlier last week did take a pay cut to stay with the Cleveland Browns. They probably were just going to full cut him if he did not do that, coming back off of his knee injury, but good to see him stay with the team and potentially be a lifer for Cleveland. Deontay Hardy is going to the Baltimore Ravens to replace Devin Duvernay as the potential kick returner, punt returner there, and maybe a third or fourth wide receiver as well. So a little bit of interesting on best ball rosters. CJ Uzama to the Philadelphia Eagles as well to potentially be the tight end too, alongside of Dallas Goedert. Okay, we've got Tom Brady saying that he could potentially be open to returning to the league if they were to call him down the stretch. Don't think that one's happening. They don't even know if he can actually legally do it if he becomes an owner of the Raiders. So don't be going and picking up Tom Brady. I would not advise to go do that one. Kellen Mond, my favorite player in the NFL, is still sticking around as he lands a backup job with the Saints and Nathan Peterman to really secure that practice team's interception throwing to the defense. And then Equanimeous St. Brown is also following him to the Saints.
Fun stuff. At least you had some like real names to sprinkle in, like some news there. I was really worried that we were going to just have like the Equanimeous St. Brown news, and that was what we're going to be hammering out. And that's Cody's Crusties. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate that.
I don't know. We're gonna workshop that name. I don't know if I could go forward with that one. But for now, it's going to go out on blast. Let's go.
Yep, I think Cody's Crusties is sticking. So, all right, last couple things here. Obviously, T. Higgins expected to play in Cincinnati. I think that was kind of a common thing that everyone did expect. He actually came out and said that. Did you mention Jonathan Brooks ready to go?
Did not. That one's just more kind of in news and notes. Both Daniel Jones and Jonathan Brooks have been saying they're expected to be ready to go. They've been players that have been discounted a little bit, depending upon who you talk to and which players individually, that some people have been discounting because they might not be able to participate through any or a full offseason workout. It looks like they will be cleared for week one if they're not lying to us and they don't suffer a setback.
It's going to be very interesting. All those Drew Lock shares everyone has. Gonna be real interesting.
Anyways, it'll be interesting for the Daniel Jones shares whenever JJ McCarthy goes to their 5 or 6 or whatever it is.
We're gonna get into all of that fun next week, since we have one more episode before we get to do the draft stream. But yeah, next week will be a lot of fun talking about kind of the superlatives of rookie season, kind of get into some of that, talk about what we believe will or won't happen, and stake some claims, you know, put our stamp down on some names and see kind of who's right, who's wrong, and if we ever want to rehash that episode ever again. So I think that'll be a fun one next week. Again, do make sure you are going over to Underdog, use code DDD at sign up. We're going to say this over and over again. Go over there, do that, get entered into the raffle, get yourself the volume 2024 the guide, so that you can get the rookie guide for the 2024 class, as well as getting that deposit match up to $100 on your first time deposit. Going to be an incredible time. Go make sure you do tune in all 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, over at Destination Debbie YouTube page, so that we can just entertain you for 27 hours is what it feels like. So
start catching up on sleep now, Chase. Just start getting in an extra hour every night so you can make it through. I know you're not going to make it through all 15, but I still will be trying to make it through all 15.
I'm going to try and make it for all of it, but that's the tough part. Saturdays is the tough day for me. That's the tough one right now, but I'm going to try and be around as much as I humanly possibly can, and I it's going to be a blast, dude. It's always so much fun. So anything else you want to add before we wrap out?
Nah, break it on down.
All right. So again, make sure you tune in next week. Make sure you go over to patreon.com/allgas. Get yourself in that Heisman tier, the Destination 5 tier, so that you can have access to all the content creators. for the 18 millionth time. Code DDD over at Underdog. You know the business at that point, at this point. So I appreciate you all for tuning in, and thank you so much for joining us here on the Overreaction Podcast.